Chapter 10. The Nightmare Stacks. There is a railway under London, but it's probably not the one you're thinking of. Scratch that. There are many railways under London. There are the tube lines that everyone knows about. Hundreds of kilometres, dozens of lines, carrying millions of people every day. And there are the London commuter rail lines, many of which run underground for part or all of their length. There are the other major railway tracks, such as Crossrail and the Eurostar tunnel into St. Pancras. There's even the Docklands Light Railway, if you squint. But these are just the currently operational lines that are open to the public. There are other lines you probably don't know about. There are the deep tube tunnels that were never opened to the public, built to serve the needs of wartime government. Some of them have been abandoned, others turned into archives and secure stores. There are the special platforms off the public tube stations, the systems built during the 1940s and 1950s to rush MPs and royalty away from the capital at an hour's notice in time of war. These are the trains of government, buried deep and half forgotten. And then there are the weird ones. The Necropolis Railway that ran from behind Waterloo to Brookwood Cemetery in Surrey, along the converted trackbed of which I ran last night. The coal tunnels that distributed fuel to the power stations of South London, and the buried generator halls that powered the tube network. And the mail rail narrow-gauge tunnels that for over a century hauled sacks of letters and parcels between Paddington and Whitechapel until it was officially closed in 2003. Closed? Not so fast. The stacks, where the laundry keeps its dead files, occupy 200-metre stretches of disused, deep-dug tube tunnel not far from Whitehall. They're 30 metres down, beneath the hole in the ground where Service House is currently being rebuilt by a private finance initiative, just in time for Case Nightmare Green. How do you think we get files in and out? Or librarians in and out, for that matter? Angleton has a job for me to do, down in the stacks. And so it is that at 1:30 I'm sitting in my office, nursing a lukewarm mug of coffee, and waiting for the little man with a handcart to call, when the Necronomipod begins to vibrate and makes a noise like a distressed U-boat. Hello? It's Mo. Bob? She doesn't sound too happy. Yeah? You at home?
Right now, yes. Not feeling too well.
I hunch over instinctively. Is there anything I can do?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Listen, about last night. Thanks, and thanks for letting me lie in. I'm just wrung out today, so I've begged off my weekly, and I was thinking about taking the afternoon to do what we talked about earlier, to go visit research and development. But there's a little job I needed to do in the office, and I was wondering if you could...
I glance at the clock on my desktop.
Maybe. Depends what. I'm off to the stacks in half an hour.
The stacks?
In person?
She cheers up audibly.
That's great. I was hoping you could pull a file for me, and if you're going there...
Not so fast. I pause. What kind of file?
A new one, a report I asked for. I can give you a reference code. It should be fresh in today.
Oh, right. Well, that shouldn't be a problem. I can probably fit it in with my primary mission. What's the number?
Let me...
She reads out a string of digits, and I read it back to her.
Yes, that's it. If you could just bring it home with you this evening.
Remind me again, who was it who didn't want work brought home?
That's different. This is me being lazy, not you overdoing it.
I smile. If you say so.
Love you.
You too. Bye. At 2:07, I hear footsteps and a squeak of wheels that stops outside my door. I pick up a pair of brown manila files I'm through with and stand. Archive service? I ask. The man with the handcart is old and worn before his time. He wears a blue-grey boiler suit and a cloth cap that has seen better days. His skin is as parched as time-stained newsprint. He looks at me with the dumb, vacant eyes of a residual human resource.
Archive service,
he mumbles. These are going back. I hand over the files, and he painstakingly inscribes their numbers on a battered plywood clipboard, using a stub of pencil sellotaped to a length of string. And I'm going with them. He stares at me, unblinking.
Document number,
he says. I roll my eyes. Give me that. Taking the clipboard, I make up a shelf reference number and write it down in the next space, then copy it onto my left wrist with a pen. See? I am a document. Take me.
Document, number...
His eyes cross for a moment.
Come.
He puts his hands to the handcart and begins to push it along, then glances back at me anxiously.
Come.
For an RHR, he's remarkably communicative. I tag along behind him as he finishes his round, collecting and distributing brown manila envelopes that smell of dust and long-forgotten secrets. We leave the department behind, heading for the service lifts at the back. Rita doesn't even raise her head to nod as I walk past. The heavy freight lift takes forever to descend into the sub-basement, creaking and clanking. The lights flicker with the harsh edge of fluorescent tubes on the verge of burnout, and the ventilation fans provide a background white buzz of noise that sets my teeth on edge. There's nobody and nothing down here, except for storerooms and supply lockers. People visit, but only the dead stay. Handcart man shuffles down a narrow passage lined with fire doors. Pausing before one, he produces an antiquated-looking key and unlocks a padlock and chain from around the crash bar. Then he pushes his cart through into a dimly lit space beyond. How do you relock that? I ask him.
Lock at night,
he mumbles, throwing a big switch like a circuit breaker that's mounted on the wall just inside the door. We're in a narrow, long room with a couple of handcarts parked along one wall. The other side of the room is strange. There's a depression in the floor and a hole in each of the narrow ends. Rails run along the depression between the holes. Such is the wildly unusual scale of it all that it takes me several seconds to blink it back into the correct perspective and see that I'm standing on the platform of an underground railway station. A narrow gauge system with tracks about 60 centimeters apart and an electrified third rail. I hear a sullen rumbling from one of the tunnel mouths and feel a warm breath of wind on my face, like the belch of a very small dragon. The original